They're good. Now we're really on. Now we're really on. So let's, I have so many notes. You guys want to hear about last week. So, where'd it go? Yep, those are in there. So, John and Julia, your overview. I didn't take notes last week while we were out and about. I didn't take notes, so I didn't journal because it just wasn't conducive when you were up doing what you're doing.
So who all went?
John, Julie, and I.
Okay.
John, Julia, and myself. We went, the Four Corners, we went out to the Tum Tum River. I do have a couple of notes that we started with. The Lord gave us a key to use. We went to the Tum Tum River, and that was pretty fun. Because that one, the Tum Tum River, which is Cherokee for heart. So, and it pours into the Mary's River, and that seemed pertinent to me. So we went to the farthest point, we went to the Tum Tum River, and then we went out to in Monroe. It was a World War II park there. Before you go to past Monroe, before you go around the corner of Junction City, there's a park there. I've prayed there before. I've prayed it at all the places except for the Tum Tum River. Then we went to the Adair Village, and that one was the most profound for me. Before I had prayed and stuff over there, was four different troops that were a part of Adair at that time. But what was really profound is we heard a guy, and he's mentioning, he goes, well, that oak tree over there is the last evidence of the community called Wells. I had no idea that there was a community there in Wells. And on the placard, it said that the Army had been surveying the land for some time. But when Pearl Harbor happened, they walked into the schoolroom, gave them 24 hours to move this community of Wells. And here was this tree there. And so we spent a lot of time there. We felt it was very redemptive. We met the angel who carried the scroll for that community. It was really something. I wouldn't be surprised that we don't go back there and do a little bit more of the redeeming of the land there.
Was it a Japanese community?
Mm-mm. No. No, they were actually a depot, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was a hub, a transportation hub of the valley at the time. It wasn't big, it just had a post office and a depot, so it was on the train line.
Mm-hmm.
And can I ask one more question? The Tum Tum River, what point, like northwest, what part of the city, what corner was that?
West.
Okay, furthest west.
Northwest?
Mm-hmm.
Southwest?
Southwest.
Okay.
This is the southwest corner. But the Wells community, that was it was very, very profound. It was just very profound.
Yeah, the Wells family owned a little store that ran the postal.
Carter.
He was the postmaster.
Carter.
What's that?
Carter.
Oh, Carter.
And Mrs. Carter, right. his the wife of the postmaster. That's right. I forgot that. We got letters, guys. Remember, Julia?
Well, the question is, why did they make them leave?
Because they put in at their village.
Uh-huh. 55,000 acres.
They needed a place to train troops, and they'd been looking all over the country for months. And when Pearl Harbor hit, they came a day later and said, we're putting four train two divisions at the same time. And we're going to create a Dare Village and you folks need to leave town.
Wow.
It's interesting. I thought it was kind of profound that not 2 weeks before I was over at the site of Pearl Harbor and I was here, and that was the side that actually stole the community. So there's a lot of profound things about it.
Then there's the connection between Dare Village and Germany, because the reason the army chose that location was that the environment and the foliage was very similar to the front, the German front, so it was easier to train all the troops to function in that capacity when they were trained in the same forest and valleys. And
it was also, they had prisoners of war of Italian and German. So there was a lot of things to redeem there. John and Julia, that was really profound to me. I mean, we saw other things, but that one was really, really profound.
I guess what I was sort of impacted by is, first of all, the way that the Lord to speak through one of us, particularly Kristen, and give us some guidelines and some us, almost like a treasure hunt to go and discover. And then to see that sort of come to fruition. I remember the first time we're standing there right next to the Tum Tum River. It happens to be right along the highway, but you can't hardly see it. And in the deep Pacific Northwest forest, ferns, tall trees, it was trying to rain a little bit, because I'm listening to the birds. What did he talk about this morning? Just hearing what was going on around me and recognizing that we were sort of claiming the land, and just we're standing, the two trees we were standing between. It just seemed like a sacred moment. I mean, the whole thing in some ways was because of where God was leading us. I was really impacted too by the well site and that huge oak tree. And we touched it, felt it. It stood as a representative, the last, its family was stolen from us, what we. Its identity, its family, its community had been stolen from it. We started interacting with that.
So is this tree someplace where we could go see it?
Uh-huh. I mean, it's, wow. If you go out to Dare, they have the animal, the pheasants and stuff in the cages there, and you keep going back that way, and it's just back down the path.
Yeah, so if you go, like she said, it's across from the dump, you take that turn, you go down the ways, and there's a little park that's a military memorial kind of, that talks about some of the stuff she talked about and lists the four troops. And there's some picnic tables there. But if you, at that point, if you go north on the little trail that heads toward this pond back there, if you head north about, I don't know, 300 yards or so, and there's a little plaque and this great big huge oak tree sitting there that tells that story and pictures of Mrs. Carter, or the post office anyway, and Wells. And yeah, it's real easy to find.
Do they know where the people went? What happened to them after that? No.
All right, you go ahead and ponder.
That's
the last destination I took pictures of. And the last destination, which was, we felt like our east marker, was I-5, and so John took us this little place that had it had an over ramp, it had the freeway, it had a telecommunications tower, and the parking lot that we were under was under telephone wires. Everything was just about communication.
I-5 was there going.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, it's out in the middle of all these acres and acres of grass fields, and here's this line of trucks and cars back and forth. Then we looked up, and there's a jet flying overhead.
It just
seemed like an unique place.
Yeah, oh, that's my key. So in the morning was the skate key. That's the key that the Lord gave us for the day. And the interesting thing is that a skate key, and it just, when I saw it curl, I thought there's two scrolls on the key. But the interesting thing is about a skate key is that it unlocks both width and breadth and length. So we use that key many times.
Mm-hmm. I just touched right.
Oh,
who? Oh, God, thankful for it. And on Sunday, it's like I got to participate. My level of discerning what's going on is rudimentary but growing. But to be around these two and to see what's going on in heaven, and she talked, and she did mention that. Kristen talked about. She saw some spiritual boundary flags were going to be moved. Our presence set the spirit realm on edge, and they wanted to move some boundaries. And there was a battle going on. I couldn't sense it, but I could through these. So just the privilege of participating in this thing was, for me, it was largely following a map. I'm an orienteer, a Boy Scout, and all that stuff in the maps. But there was a lot more going on up there than there was down here.
Okay.
And just impacted by the privilege of these guys pulling me into what was going on in the heavens. It's just amazing.
They do, when I said the pillar of fire, they do want to
see
what's
Well, what's interesting, their destiny, original destiny of being a hub and everything, and then it was turned into a military institution, is much like what the Lord says about us. And so that we'd met the angel, and so it was cool. Oh, yes.
And then we came back to the river.
And we poured the rest of the bottle in the river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the flesh, that was interesting. Here's two women and a guy walking down the river with a bottle, and Corval's a bottle of wine, sharing this bottle of wine. And she was concerned about what somebody gets on our case of pouring this wine in the river. I mean, sometimes you pour anything in the river, and the Florida's are going to come get you. So. We sat there and had some communion and just talked, and it was a beautiful day and everything, and then we decided to just surreptitiously go down and port in the river. We didn't want to know if there would be any police around or anything, and we came back and sit right next to us was a police car.
Yeah.
Unmarked.
Unmarked.
It was an unmarked car, but I think it was out of service.
Yeah.
I think someone had bought it.
Car.
I don't know.
But that was interesting to take the remainder of that one after took communion, pour it into the water, watch it. Disperse out to the current.
So you went down to the edge
of
the water?
Yeah.
By Michael's Landing.
Yeah. Yeah. So in an overview, we changed the DNA of Benton County.
You saw an angel at one of the four corners?
Well, we actually, I saw the angelic, but the actually, the one at Wells, who was holding a scroll, we encountered, so we know that there's a little bit more to that.
You know his name?
Well, I just, you know, off the top, because he was encased in, couldn't move. It was like he was frozen in, if you want to say time. I know they're outside of time. But he was released. So like Julia says, it's something to go back and redeem more of that. But I think definitely that we we share now in the responsibility of that scroll. So I was just keeping it simple and calling him Skate, since I was given a skate key. So, but we had a good time. We had fun. Yeah. And then on, we had bench on Wednesday, and we actually completed, there was a second assignment that Grant had mentioned. So the second assignment was to pull our scroll up, and if anybody's in our community that they don't belong here, to release them to go, because they need to be a part of the community that God has called them to.
And Grant say, call forth and have them read your scroll.
Yeah.
And then that follows. So in other words, he said, he was here, he said, yeah, one of the things you need to do is you need to, I don't know how to put it, but yeah, have them bring forth your book or your scroll of your church and read mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. He says sometimes, now he can read his own.
Yeah.
Like, I got the impression that sometimes you can ask your scroll to be read. I don't think I've seen mine yet.
Absolutely, maybe you will today.
Yeah. So he said you can have it read. If you can't see it, still, go read it. And the word goes out. So he said, yeah, have the book of your church, the scroll of your church read, and then go ahead.
Yeah. And then to release those that are supposed to be, their scrolls that are supposed to be somewhere else, and then also those that are supposed to be a part of our scroll aren't here, then we called them forward. Because the issue that we were, from the assignment was to bring an end to the voices that were spoken against us.
So you did the second part?
Yes, we did the second part on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So those, the Grant Mahoney, that Monday night, it's recorded, but you'll find it under membership resources. It's not on the podcast because that's a private, that's between us. So you can go to the website when you go to church and it looks like a member and has a little thing, you'll get it. And it's under membership resources. Also, John and Julia's are on the website on the podcast.
And I have to repent before you for a certain thing and encourage you not to do what I did. I've neglected the website. And finally, Kristen had me put a shortcut to it, and I'm intimidated by Apple products because I'm a PC guy forever. So I went and spent some time on the website, and I repented not having done it before and taken advantage of all her work and seeing that I could pull Julia's message up and listen to it. And see, Yvonne, learned about Yvonne and what she's done. I have a whole different picture of her just because I go to the website and read her site. So I just would say, don't be negligent like I was, and just go to the website and check it out. And it may take a little while to navigate it and figure out where you are, but we need to do that.
So if we go to when we go to member resources, that's where we type in encounter.
Uh-huh. With an I.
With an I, yes.
Yeah. And that way I put things like all of the declarations for our angels, things that are just our house, that we put them there. Yeah, so that they're not out. So you want me to, I do have something to share today. Can we talk from the heart? I mean, heart, there's heart right here. We can talk from the heart here. We are going to worship, but there's just some things that I think are important. So I have a question for you. What does faith look like?
Oh, it's a verb. Definition. It's a verb.
Thank you. But what does it look like? What does it? What is the personality of faith?
Taking risks.
Uh-huh. That's scary.
Mm-hmm. And it's putting some credence into unseen things you can't see. Mm-hmm.
Where does it come from?
God.
Mm-hmm. So I have several scriptures here for I love you guys. So you could start with in Hebrews 12. We're going to stick in Hebrews, a little bit in Psalms, not too much. Some of them, you can have my notes at the end if you want them. I didn't print them up.
Finding a promise that is so outside my box that I just have to appropriate it and just speak it over and over in me. In my practical life until it comes to pass.
That causes me to think of things that are harder than they are.
Yeah.
One of my favorite verses, Romans 4:17.
Yeah.
God calls those things that be not as though they are.
Okay. So I'm going to read, we're going to camp around this a little bit, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangle us. And let us run the race, run with endurance, the race that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we currently are being challenged in our walking out of venture capital. I brought venture capital down with us. And venture capital, the mountain. So if I look at us in the course of the language, what God has identified in us is that we have a mountain of finance and that we've always known that we are a house of resources. So this particular reason was one of the reasons why we asked Grant and Samantha to come is because our resources have been hindered. Okay, so we already shared our assignments. So in that, I'm just taking my heart and everybody's heart here for those. So currently, we have not been able to pay last month's rent. And we're looking at, here we are, another rent. And we have been chewing on that, struggling over that, hearing from the Lord regarding it. And every time we hear from the Lord, it always seems to be increase, abundance, and overflow. But we're challenged. We are seriously challenged to make, do we make sense of it? Do we, you know, the whole thing. So I put that out there for you so that we can continue to press into what the Lord has for us. You know, God sifts our emotions and our thoughts. You know? I know I'm guilty of, you know, I look under every rock looking for an error. What did I do? You know, lie bust everything. I mean, constantly looking for, asking the question. And it's rough. I wake up in the morning. I'm just talking from my perspective. I wake up in the morning and it can be right there. Right there in my brain to be the point of and that takes perseverance to press through. Perseverance or to listen or you talk, you know, and so this morning, what happens if we're right on target?
Asking a rhetorical question or a real question?
Depends on what the hearers hear.
Ponder question in the beginning.
Yeah. What happens if we're right smack on target? In Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, it says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord," Paul talking here, "implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of spirit in the bond of peace." There's one body, there's one spirit, just also as you were called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all, through all, and in all. Every day God is imploring me to walk in a manner worthy of the calling he placed on my life, worthy of the calling that he's placed on our lives. Question, do you guys remember who from the cloud of witnesses came in and joined us and Grant mentioned? There were three names, but there was one individual.
I have it written probably.
It was Jethro.
Oh, yeah.
It was Jethro. It was Moses' father-in-law, and Jethro's name in Hebrew means abundance. Walking out faith for me is a matter of getting a word from him every day. Every day. John just supplied a dream this morning. Day before yesterday, Yvonne texts me that she had a dream that Ian Clayton brought her a gift. And I asked her what the gift was, and it was binoculars. Every day there is an encouragement if I press in to the Lord. But I have to choose to listen and ignore what, you know, Kristen is doing. So we know that we have a finance mountain. We know that we're called to be a place of heavenly resources and a city of refuge. Will that be tested? Will it be opposed? So God asked me, he asked us to walk in a worthy manner with humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance one for another in love. Most important, in love. So even though it feels really uncomfortable, being uncomfortable together in relationship brings things to the surface. And that's at the Lord's heart. And to love each other in a community of relationship, that is what it's all about. Absolutely what it's all about. Our calling and our first calling is relationship. I mean, for me to actually share with you that it all of it makes me uncomfortable. Could I find scripture that would say one thing and find scripture that would say another thing? And I could probably find a witness on each side. Could we not? But it's in relationship that it brings forth the revelation of who we are and what God thinks about us and who he is. And that's only in relationship. So what does it look like? It says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What does the word diligent mean? To exert oneself, endeavor, give difference, followed by initiative. Do I have a part? Do I have a part in the morning when I wake up to do something with my thoughts. Mm-hmm. Is love important with faith?
Yes. Faith works through love.
It does. So faith is non-existent without love. Can we disagree and still have love?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. If you don't come over to my side of the camp, how can we even get along? Remember, there's one body in heaven and earth. Do they have a say? The one body. Do they have a say? You shake your head yes at me. Does the cloud of witnesses, do they have a say? Well, you say yes, and I could say, well, how do you know?
Because I have the same body.
Because we're the same body. We're one body. We're called into one hope. What are they hoping for?
Us to finish the race.
Thank you.
But I lost you at, do we have to agree? Can we still, I didn't understand your comment. You asked the question, do we have to agree
to love one another.
Uh-huh. I said no, but then you countered. I didn't know if you were. I didn't understand.
I was being a little sarcastic at the end of it.
You're being facetious.
Yes.
Okay. So we can.
But is it not more difficult to love somebody that you're not in agreement with?
Probably. I guess so.
Does that bring things to the point? Does that bring things to the surface? Does that test my ability to love?
Freedom of will, love.
That's right. And God has given us freedom of will in such an amazing way that we, I think everyone here, wants to bend our knee towards Him because of His goodness towards us.
Mm-hmm. So we're called to be one spirit, well spoken, Sandy, called in one hope. Remember, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith without the substance of hope, again, faith is naked without hope. Called in one hope, one Lord, one faith. Not Steve's faith or Don's faith or Kate's faith. It's one faith. One baptism, one God and Father. The only thing that is given individually is grace. According to the measure of Christ's gift. So, life application. I still got my heart here. My heart still feels uncomfortable at times. This is pressing on me. So the throne of grace needs to be approached every day and employed daily, just like we give ourselves as a living sacrifice daily. I'm just telling you how I do this. How do I do something that feels difficult and hard? Hebrews tells me that I need to lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles me from running. Sandy can't do that for me. My husband can't do that for me. I have to do it for me, between me and the Lord. What's faith look like personally? And how do I stay encouraged and find encouragement daily? By being real with God. And it's because relationship, like I said, when we share how the Lord encouraged you, and we share that like with a simple text or First thing this morning, John goes, oh, I have a dream. We don't understand how valuable that is in a season where there is opposition. And I don't discount it, because from God says that I'm supposed to keep my focus on things that are above. So what we get individually in our times is so important to me. It's so important to our ecclesia. It's so important to each one of us. Gratefulness. But Susan stepped in quite easily today. And I encourage you, if you'd like to go back and listen to Julia's message on gratefulness, it is outstanding.
Mm-hmm. It impacted me greatly. I've been thinking about it ever since. So this is why I shared what I shared.
Uh-huh. It's outstanding. So when I wake up and there's these things in my head of, you can ask the questions, you go, well, what are we going to do in my era? Are we in error? Did we make a mistake? Did we, you know, all those things. And it's right there. You know, it's right there. Have to make a decision. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? That's right there. I mean, that is a serious battle for at least me. Maybe it's a battle. It's right there. So I cause myself to remember the last thing that he said to me. But I cause myself to remember. That's why I journal. That's why journaling is so valuable to me. I start by being grateful, and I thank him for my husband, for my family, for my cup of coffee, which greets me every day in my wee morning time. And I keep going. And I keep going through gratefulness until I sense his presence. I may dance with my scroll. I'll dance with my desires. I'll dance with the things that he's told me about me, told me about you, told me about us. I'll dance with him because I know his DNA will come around and it'll change that which needs to be changed. I take communion. I surrender my heart. I trade yokes and heaviness to him. A key for me is to come and offer myself. If I don't come, I'm not going to hear a word. I'm not going to be encouraged because I didn't come. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to me. That's found in Matthew 6:33. Now, I have more. That was just a life application of, what does Kristen do when it gets tough? Because I think it's important. And it's important for me to remember to be diligent and have gentleness and kindness and patience. And sometimes that gentleness and kindness and patience I need to apply to myself. Because we're running a race. But I got some other good stuff. But I kind of felt like a little bit of a pregnant pause in this part that I'm going to ask Jacob, and we'll worship. Because my desire with worship is that our offering. So today, I'm constantly reminded is that every day, through situations, circumstance, blessing, and trial and everything, every day is a new day,
And only this day that I can give him a sacrifice of praise. And it's only going to be given from today, because tomorrow we'll have something else. And I want to make sure that I offer it. And that's why it's a sacrifice. So if I don't come and I don't seek, then I haven't done anything. It hasn't cost anything to me to sacrifice it to him. And that takes moving Kristen. Getting up out of bed in the morning takes moving Kristen. That in itself is a discipline and a sacrifice or a learned response. Or just waiting, sifting through things, waiting until I'm encouraged from the throne of grace. It's I've got to be encouraged. It has to be real. And it has to affect my spirit and my emotions. It has to touch me. If it doesn't touch me, and I don't feel like I've touched him, then this struggling is going to struggle with me all day long. Because I haven't seen what the Father is doing. I haven't felt what the Father's doing. I haven't perceived what the Father's doing. And so in our worship time this morning, I just encourage you just to step in and perceive his goodness. Jakob, David.